This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, hello. How's everybody doing? Happy Friday to you, America. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Great to have you with us today, and we've got a lot to talk about, a lot going on in the country, and I'm so happy that you guys have decided to hang out with us. So we're going to have a great time today. Also, it is Open Line Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that gives you the opportunity to phone in, and you can talk about whatever is on your mind today. And a lot of you folks have had a lot of stuff on your mind. And I know you've called in, and the lovely Miss Cassie has said, well, call Todd on Friday and just unload on the guy. So give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, tonight, filling in on Newsmax One, I'll be filling in for Rob Finnerty tonight. So be sure to tune in. We're going to have a great show. It's a busy day, so I'll be doing 2 hours of TV. This is 4 hours of radio. We do a show in the morning locally for our Memphis affiliate. So, sweet mercy. It's going to be a busy day. Again, 901-260-5926 is our number. So I was going through and just sort of seeing what was on everybody's minds today. I know that President Trump has got the communist showing up at the White House, Zohran Mamdani. He's already in Washington, and he'll be meeting with the president, I believe, around 3 o'clock Eastern time today in the Oval Office. And I don't know why. I genuinely do not know why President Trump has invited this guy into the Oval Office. However, I have a theory. Dylan, you want to hear my conspiracy theory?
I do, yes.
All right, here we go. There's really not going to be a meeting. Zohran is going to be lured into the Oval Office. And when he walks in behind that big, beautiful flag, the one that's right behind the Resolute desk, there's going to be the border czar, Tom Homan. And Tom Homan is going to pop out, and he's going to take Zohran Mamdani into custody, and he's going to ship his butt back to Uganda. What do you think about that?
Wow.
Is that not one heck
what
of a
theory?
I switched coffees. Our good buddy Steve Gill has me hooked on this thing called Pure. It's called Pure Roast, P-U-R-O-A-S-T, Pure Roast. And I don't know how they do it, but they suck all the acid out of the coffee, you know, because I like coffee. Yeah. I don't like the after effects of coffee.
The heartburn.
Yeah. So anyway, you still get all the caffeine, but you don't have all the acid. And so it's really tastes great. But anyway, regardless, I think he slipped something in there, because I've been a little frisky all day. I don't know why. But anyway, that's what I think is going to happen today. That's the only thing I can imagine. That's the only reason I can imagine why Donald J. Trump would invite the communist into the Oval Office here. So look, I was scouring all the news sources that I normally go to in the evening time, and I've noticed there's a lot of anxiety right now within the Republican world, on both sides of the MAGA world. The Ben Shapiro crowd, the Alex Jones crowd, everybody's very concerned about these polls that are coming out, and no doubt about it. I mean, the polling data just doesn't look good right now. And I'm not terribly alarmed. Maybe I should be, but I don't think so. We've got a long way to go between now and the midterm elections. But Ben Shapiro, we'll start with him, and I'll pass along what Alex Jones is talking about as well. Alex had on our Rasmussen polling, and they've got numbers that are very alarming. But anyway, here's Ben Shapiro talking about Republican polling numbers, cut number 8.
According to the latest NPR PBS News Marist poll, survey of 1,443 adults conducted from November 10th to 13th found the Democrats hold their largest advantage since 2017 in terms of who people would vote for on the congressional ballot, the generic congressional ballot. Now, remember, you're not voting on a generic congressperson when you actually go to the polling place. You are voting on your congressperson. And so it's possible that widespread dissatisfaction with the Republican Party doesn't necessarily translate into your individual congressperson losing his or her seat. However, Democrats currently hold a 14-point advantage in this poll, which is a very, very large advantage. If that were to stick in the generic congressional ballot, you'd be looking at a Democratic wave in 2026. President Trump, in this polling, his approval rating is just 39%, which is his lowest since right after January 6th. A combined 6 in 10 people blame congressional Republicans or Trump for the government shutdown, which, again, well done legacy media for somehow spinning a completely Democrat cause government shutdown into a story about President Trump and Republican intransigence. Nearly 6 in 10 say that Trump's top priority should be lowering prices. No other issue comes close, actually. So, again, those are very bad numbers for the Republicans right now.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, I mean, certainly look bad if they are all to be believed. But all of the polling data out there is showing that there is there's a mood right now, and there's a vibe among Republicans and conservatives and Trump conservatives. And I'm wondering what that vibe is. Why are you guys not vibing right now in the right direction? What's going on here? And there's a little bit of concern in this race coming up in Middle Tennessee, which some are saying could be a bellwether. I don't think it is. Look, hear me on this. So Congressman Mark Green, he cheated on his wife, sleeping with some young intern chick. It's a girl. And then divorces the wife and resigns from Congress. And so there's a big special election. This is a district that went 20 points for Trump and 20 points for the congressman. It is rock solid red. Well, now the Democrats think they've got this blonde-haired version of AOC, and they think that she might possibly be able to pull off an upset here. I just don't think that's going to be possible. I was looking at all the numbers and the data coming in last night from Middle Tennessee, and I just don't see this. It's the Democrats are hoping for a miracle. Now, I will say this, that if, in fact, they do win, if the Democrats win that district, I think we may have an issue. But again, this is going to be a long shot for the Democrats to win this. Is it possible? Well, anything's possible. We're going to be talking to the candidate in just a little while, and we'll see what's happening there on the Republican side, Matt Van Epps. But again, when you look at the voting in Virginia and New Jersey and in Minnesota, those are Democrat strongholds. So I'm still not sure we can extrapolate from that, other than the fact that Republicans should have turned out and they did not turn out. Had the Republicans turned out en masse in New Jersey, I think we would have seen a different outcome there. New York City, it's a weird electorate. What do you want me to tell you? But there is there's a lot of concern. Rasmussen reports doing a lot of the shows, and we're going to get them all next week to talk about this. But they feel as though that the average American that they're not the White House is not hearing them. That the White House, they're surrounding, Trump is surrounding himself with the billionaires and the super billionaires, and right now he's surrounding himself with the big business guys and the big tech guys, and they're not the little guy, the average American, the average Joe, is their voice is not being heard inside 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That is the feeling right now, and it may be the reality. But I'm telling you, if there's anything wrong here, it is the fact that, number one, Congress has done absolutely nothing, nothing at all. And Trump has given them cover. If I'd be the president, I would be up their behinds every single day. But they're not codifying his agenda. They're not moving the agenda forward. It's a great big mess. And the one big beautiful bill only adds more money to what we're paying in our tax dollars. So, yeah, the economy is it's starting to move in the right direction, and that's happening, and that's a messaging issue, that's a communications issue. But there's just a little bit of malaise right now in the country, and maybe it's the holidays, and you know, and people are focused on the turkey. Are you going to fry it? Are you going to roast it? Are you going to deep fry it? What are you going to do with the turkey? Are you going to serve ham? Who's bringing the sweet potato pie? So you're so focused on all these other things that maybe you're just politicked out, and maybe that's another component of it, is that we have not had a break. It has been a nonstop drinking from a fire hydrant with the administration. So much happening. And instead of celebrating the president's historic victories and celebrating all of that and all the glories, we seem to be caught up in this swamp of our own making. And that's what's really got people, I think, in a doldrum right now. I think they're just in a mood. You guys are just in a mood. And we had a sweet lady call in, and she was a little fired up yesterday. And she said, Todd, I hear what you're saying about Thanksgiving dinner being down 5 percentage points from what it cost last year. But, man, everything is costing more money in our local market. And I get that. I hear that a lot, actually. And it doesn't help when the president is coming out and saying, well, you know, grocery prices are down. You people don't know what you're talking about. With all due respect, Mr. President, you're not chopping down at Piggly Wiggly or Winn-Dixie. The American people are. Your supporters are. And they're trying to convey to you a message, sir. That's what's happening here. Now, there's another component to all of this, and they call it the Ute vote, the youth vote. But we're talking about people, and again, I don't mean this in a bad way, but you 18 to 21, 22-year-olds, you guys are in college. Many of you are still getting support from mom and dad. So the nature of the economy is not hitting you as hard as it is someone who has just graduated college and is trying to get out there and buy that first house or buy a car, you know, get married, start a family. It's that age demographic. And I would say the 23-year-olds to 30-year-olds, there needs to be some very specific messaging directed at that age group of voters, because those voters are being disenfranchised right now. They feel disenfranchised. And there needs to be, and I don't know what we could do here. Could Trump do a series of rallies heading up into the midterms for that specific demographic of people? Maybe Trump does a college tour. And we're strategic and reaching out and talking, and it doesn't have to be. You don't need a 32-page policy paper. Pick two or three big item issues for that generation, and let's talk about them. It seems like those kids are being left out of the lurch altogether. They're just being told, well, you're lazy, and that may be for some, but not for all. They're being told, you're lazy, you're expecting too much. Get another job. If you're not making it, go get another job. And that, look, all of those things may be true. They may be accurate. But for most people, I think most people in that age group, they're working their butts off. And they can't get a leg up. We've got to figure out, how do we reach those people? Because those are the ones that will stay home. And those are the ones that, by the way, that went out and voted for Donald Trump in 2024. And we need those people to go back and vote for the Republicans. Whatever happens, we need to make sure that people think that Trump is on the ballot in the midterm elections. Otherwise, as many are now beginning to say in the conservative world, it could be a disaster in the midterms. I don't think it is. I think we're going to see a massive uptick in the economy. And when that happens, we are going to be roaring into the midterm elections. But the biggest problem that Donald Trump has right now, in my estimation, is the fact that he has a Congress, and they're just not doing their jobs. As a matter of fact, by the way, we shut down the government for how many was it, 40-something days? You know, they're already back in their districts again. I'm sorry, what is going on here? What are we paying you people to do? I don't need you to march in the Podunk, Tennessee Kumquat Parade. I need you back up in Washington, D.C., codifying President Trump's agenda. And have we started dismantling the Department of Education yet? Has that happened? All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is Open Line Friday on the Todd Stern Show. Have you heard about the new movie Call Sign Courage? It's the story of Space Force Commander Matt Lohmeyer. He's the one who blew the lid off the military's DEI agenda. He saw how Marxist messaging, critical race theory, and rampant DEI training was changing the culture of the military. Suddenly, everybody was equal. They'd stripped away merit-based selection and promotions, and the lack of accountability, competency, and effectiveness had actually become a domestic threat. He spoke up how it was tearing apart the military's unity, readiness, and the whole reason why we have a military in the first place, the ability to fight and win wars. They broke into his home, he was spied on and threatened, but Lohmeyer did not back down, so career officers kicked him out. Then President Trump made him Undersecretary of the Air Force so he could solve the problem. When the stakes were high, this guy stood up. Don't miss Call Sign Courage, the Matt Lohmeyer story. Watch it and buy the DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com. All right. Heading to Atlanta this weekend. Dylan, I've already mapped out the stop to Bucky's, which is on the other side of Birmingham.
You have to.
By the way, have you heard the news about Dolly Parton, who, by the way, is a little under the weather, but she's okay. She's still alive. She's still with us.
Nobody put out like a mass like messaging.
No.
Pray for Dolly Parton.
No.
Okay, good.
So anyway, Dolly is opening up a new venture. She's got Dollywood, the theme park, which is a lot. Have you been to Dollywood?
It's the best theme park in the entire world. It's better than Disney, better than Six Flags. I will die on that hill.
Really? What yes. makes it better?
It's friendlier. It's like the people there are more, you know, friendly. If you're going to be on a ride with someone,
yeah,
that's who you want to be on a ride with. And the rides are more fun and faster, in my opinion.
I bet the food's pretty good, too.
Food is amazing. They're like cinnamon bread. I think that's what it's called. You would take a whole loaf home. If
really?
You could. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if the theme park is that great, wait until you hear about Dolly Parton's new venture. It's called Dolly's Tennessean Travel Stop. So she's creating like these gas stations, like sort of, it's like kind of like Bucky's with boobs. And they're
wait.
No, in all seriousness. As a matter of fact, the logo is very similar to, it's called Dolly's Tennessean Travel Stop. And Dylan, pull up the website, dollystravelstops.com. It looks like the Cracker Barrel theme, except instead of the old timer, it's got Dolly striking a sultry pose. And if the old timer did that at Cracker Barrel, he would throw out a hip. But it's Dolly. It's like the mud flap, the gal on the mud flaps. It's Dolly Parton.
Wow. I'm seeing this right now. You're not wrong at all.
So you're driving and you see that, you're pulling off the road and you're like, oh, well, let's go get a Coca-Cola.
I would say so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some ho-hos. So anyway, they're launching these new travel stops. And they're going to be rebranded. And Dolly says that, you know, she spent years on the road on a bus and, you know, they would stop at these truck stops and they're always nasty. So she wanted to do something a little bit more high end. And they're coming up with this. They're going to build a prototype in Tennessee, Cornersville, Tennessee. And then they're going to start rolling out more Dolly Parton travel stops.
I'm not going to lie. I trust this with my life. I think it's going to be massively successful.
I wonder if all of the is it going to be like Hooters where the clerks have to, you know, dress a certain way, have to appear a certain way?
I don't know. All I care about is the bathrooms. So maybe if she focuses on that, I don't care what the workers look like, but, you know.
Well, you know, the Buc-ee's, they've got the cleanest bathrooms.
They've got it down to a T. I mean, there's someone in there every 5 seconds. So, I mean.
It's true.
It's
so anyway, congratulations, Dolly Parton. She's quite the entrepreneur. Maybe, though, it's a bit wordy. Maybe they could just call it boobies, like Buc-ee's and boobies.
No comment.
No comment. All right. I'm just saying.
Successful, probably.
Anyway, get well soon, Dolly Parton. We need you back. She's like an American treasure. We've got to have, it's kind of like Betty White, you know? You got to keep them healthy at all costs, America. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. You know, I've heard from so many of you folks out there sending us notes about Star Spangled Blessings, and thank you. It has been so exciting to see you reading and hear about your thoughts about the book, and thank you for all the incredible reviews. It's pretty awesome. So anyway, this is a little ad for the books because they make wonderful Christmas gifts, and I'd love for you to get a copy of it. Now, I'm happy to sign one for you over at toddstearns.com. Shipping is a little high, so I would recommend going to Amazon, going to Books A Million or Barnes & Noble, get a copy there. It's going to be a lot less expensive, and you're going to love it. It's going to be great, and we want you to make sure you get this as a stocking stuffer. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Ron in North Carolina. Hi, Ron. What's on your mind?
I'm at.
Hello, Ron. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Ron. What's on your mind? Let's get to it.
The Democrat congressmen and whatever that were telling the troops to disobey the orders. The illegal orders, the only illegal order, and I went through basic training in 1970 during the Vietnam War, and they taught us what an illegal order was. An illegal order is, for an example, a commander says, go out there and shoot those prisoners, POWs. Basically, the only illegal order I know of is for someone to give you an order to go out there and shoot an innocent, unarmed person.
So Ron, so you went through basic training, and they tell you guys that they lay it all out there for you, and to my knowledge, President Trump hasn't told anybody in the military to go out there and shoot anybody.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah. So you don't have a problem with what the president had to say?
No, I don't. As far as I'm concerned, they're more guilty of sedition than the January 6th people were.
Well, I would agree with you there. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, not only do I not have a problem with anything the president said, I absolutely endorse all of it. And this is the problem, Ron. This is the problem I think we have as a country. We've let so much stuff slide. I mean, the reality is that we live in a very dangerous world. People, if given the opportunity, would destroy everything we have here in this nation. They would dismantle our way of life. And so many people are out in the streets. There's no respect for law enforcement anymore. There's no respect for leadership at all. It's a free-for-all. And one of the reasons why is there are no consequences for actions. And maybe, just maybe, if we started implementing some of these consequences, because the laws are on the book, we're just not enforcing them. And I think if we actually enforced, imagine, Ron, what could happen, and we could actually see a change in culture when people realize, oh, wait a second, if I say something about calling on the troops to, I don't know, raise up an insurrection, I could go to jail. Chances are the next person's going to think twice before they do something like that.
I agree with that 100%.
All right. Ron, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926 is open line Friday, whatever's on your mind today. Again, 901-260-5926. So we have, ladies and gentlemen, another Jasmine Crockett update. Chuck it! Chuck it and jiving. Ow! Good God. Chuck it and jiving. Oh, Jasmine Crockett, she be fired up, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jasmine Crockett announcing to the nation that apparently white people are running around the South lynching black people. Even as you and I are speaking here, somebody could be getting strung up, according to Jasmine Crockett. Take a listen.
What they gonna do? They not even gonna, honestly, they're about to outlaw the idea of white supremacy and white hate. Like, they are about to be like, oh, that's not a thing. Forget the fact that you're talking about getting rid of like the classification for nooses in a time in which we have seen these random black bodies be strung up down south. Also, seemingly at a time in which you're back in office, because what you do is you embolden the hate. You embolden everybody to take off their hoods. That is what he has done. He is the one that is producing this violence.
These random black bodies be what? What? Huh? What? Oh? What? Ladies and gentlemen, this is supposedly an educated woman. And if I were you, and if you had a child at Rhodes College, where it cost an arm and a leg and a spleen to send your kids to school there, it's very expensive, I'd be calling Rhodes College, and I would be talking to the admissions office, and I would be saying, what guarantees do you have that my right-speaking child is not going to come out of your college talking like Madea goes to jail? What guarantees can you give me? Oh, geez. So Jasmine Crockett is on a tear, and she's dropping all sense of intelligence. And now here she is talking about the texting. So yesterday we shared this audio with you. So yesterday, or day before yesterday, she accused all of these lawmakers of getting campaign dollars from Jeffrey Epstein. And it turns out that after she made these wild accusations, we find out that they're not true, that the Jeffrey Epsteins that actually made those donations were not the Jeffrey Epstein. And so even CNN, their most profane name in news, they called her out on this, and it was Eyebrows, Caitlin Collins, Brows as we call her. And she said, well, wait a second. You do understand here that the Jeffrey Epstein that donated to Congressman Lee Zeldin is not the Jeffrey Epstein. And so she is explaining to CNN, well, I be not seeing the problem, because my staff, we only be having 20 minutes to Google. And we only had 20 minutes to Google, so we can't be verifying all this stuff that we spewing up there. And as one of my staff members said yesterday, it would be like, oh, we didn't mean that Beyonce. We're not talking about that Beyonce. We're talking about the other Beyonce. What are you talking about? So now she's doubling down on this. It turns out that the delegate from the Virgin Islands, Plaskett is her name, and she was literally texting Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted sex predator, during a congressional hearing. And so the Republicans wanted to punish Plaskett for that. And now you've got Crockett, Jasmine Crockett, saying there was no ethical violation there. Cut number three.
Because I'm sorry, but like, we don't have ethical like rules that say that you can't receive text messages or you can't respond to text messages, especially if somebody has a certain record and you can't do it in committee. We all be sitting on our phones, and yes, people be texting. People, I mean, our texting. Staff texts us, like everybody texts us, like people. I remember when I had the bleach blonde situation, you know, who was texting me? My pastor. OK, so like, let me be clear. There is no ethical violation. And so the idea or the audacity to decide that you want to strip a black woman of her committee assignment because she was texting with Epstein.
So again, it has nothing to do with race. She said this, quote, people be texting. People be texting. People be texting. Yeah, but most people don't be texting with a pedophile. And that's the problem here, is that Stacey Plaskett was texting with a pedophile, a convicted pedophile. But Jasmine Crockett says, eh, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, your Jasmine Crockett update. She is like, it's they're churning stuff out every single day. Every single day. I don't get it. So here's Congressman James Comer, and you know, they're releasing the Epstein files, and we're discovering that a lot of the Democrats, as President Trump rightly predicted, that a lot of Democrats are going to be very, very embarrassed, including Dollar Store Obama. That would be Hakeem Jeffries. Dollar Store Obama was literally begging Epstein for money. Take a listen.
So let's read it to make sure. To Jeffrey Epstein, and that's the real Jeffrey Epstein, not Jasmine Crockett's Jeffrey Epstein. This
Burn.
Is the real Jeffrey Epstein.
Burn.
From Hakeem Jeffries' campaign. Dear Jeffrey, we are thrilled that we are working with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, one of the rising stars of the New York delegation, sometimes referred to as Brooklyn's Barack. Hakeem is committed to electing a Democrat majority in 2014 and is encouraging his friends to participate in a DCCC fundraising dinner with President Obama and Hakeem Jeffries. It ends with a number for Jeffrey Epstein to call to go to the dinner and, quote, get an opportunity to get to know Hakeem better. Here's the evidence. The email speaks for itself. The only stone cold liar in this debate is Hakeem Jeffries. So, Mr. Minority Leader, take a deep breath. Chill out. Stop lying. Stop with the juvenile name calling and own up to the fact that your campaign solicited campaign cash from Jeffrey Epstein.
Wow. That's ugly right there. I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. And this is why the Democrats never wanted to release these Epstein files when Joe Biden was president. I mean, that's ultimately the reason why. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926 on this open line Friday. How do you think President Trump is doing right now? How would you grade the administration? How would you grade Congress as we start to shift into the holiday season here? There's going to be a lot of stuff happening. Then comes January, and it is going to be a mad dash to November. So how do you think the president is doing, and how would you grade members of Congress? Now, I've been following this big dust-up between Mark Levin, the great one, why, thank you, Todd, and Megyn Kelly. You blankety-blank-blank. I don't get it with Megyn Kelly. What's up with all the language? So I got some hate mail over this, believe it or not, because Megyn Kelly, and the reason, one of the reasons that they speculate that she's popular is that she uses a lot of salty language when she does her podcast. We're not allowed to do that on the radio. It's against FCC rules, and we could, you know, be fined thousands of dollars if we used a salty language. But Dylan, people are upset with me because they say, Todd, the problem is you're too nice. That you need to use some saltier words. And again, we can't do that because of the SEC violations. So, I mean, they're saying your audience might get bigger if you cuss.
Well, you say Jeezaloo. What are you supposed to do?
Well, Jeezaloo is not a cuss word. Jeezaloo is just like, wow, Jeezaloo or Jeezaloo.
Right.
Jeezaloo.
They want you to be more.
They do. And so I'm trying to come up with some good phrases that might pass muster with the crowd that wants me to cuss more. And I'm not sure I should do that. You know, I think that's part of our shtick. You know, we're sort of Mayberry, and, you know, I don't think anybody cussed in Mayberry. I don't think. So anyway, I'm trying to come up with some alternative curse words. I've been working on a list, Dylan. How's this? The next time Jasmine Crockett says she says something outlandish. Balderdash, ma'am. Balderdash.
Okay. Pretty good.
How about this? Cheese and crackers. Cheese and crackers.
I like that one. Yes. Good.
Here's one I don't know. So they break it down like these are. So instead of saying the F word, you can say fooey. Is that? Phooey. I had no idea.
That's fun.
Phooey.
Phooey.
Fudge. Oh, fudge.
Fiddlesticks. Fiddlesticks is fun.
Oh, fiddlesticks. That's a good one. Suffer and succotash. Oh, here's another. Oh, you can't use God's name in vain. Oh, did you know that by golly is an alternate curse word using God? I had no idea.
I guess golly.
Gosh. Oh, that's on there too. Gosh. Jeez. Oh, that's on there too. Golly. Bum. Oh, jeez, Alu. What am I saying here? Holy cow. I'll
bleep you out.
Oh, wait a second. Holy cow was on there too. I can say that. Oh, here we go. Cotton picking. Have you heard of this one? Fart knocker.
That's the first. No.
I haven't heard of that.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Okay. We don't have to
know. Horse feathers. I've heard that one, but I don't know what that means because horses do not actually have feathers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what they're talking about there. Holy guacamole. Eh. Holy moly. There's another one. Mother of Pearl.
Yeah, that's good.
Is it really?
If you're a pirate.
Oh, here we go. Oh, Mother Trucker.
Mm.
Oh, that's a big one.
That's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. It is. Oh, here we go. H-E double hockey sticks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What the H-E double hockey sticks are you people doing? Oh, here we go. Here's a good one for Mam Dami, I think. Ugh, son of a motherless goat.
These are golden. You have to just incorporate them now.
All right. We're gonna do that. Maybe we should just put them. Yeah, we should just every now and again sprinkle those words into our average daily, you know, lexicon. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Son of a biscuit. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show on a very busy Friday. Coming up, President Trump will be greeting the communist Zohran Mamdani in the White House. That's happening at 3 o'clock Eastern. Let's go to Dave. Dave, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you, Todd, instead of everybody trying to appease everybody, you know, I got to be saltier in my language. I got to do it. The old phrase is true. The more profane people become, it makes them sound stupider. The more people cuss, it's like they can't find the right word to put in there. We've become such a grammatically deficient society. Nobody knows how to speak, including broadcasters. You can go to the evening news and listen to broadcasters who can't use proper grammar anymore. And like I was telling your call screener, if we go back to some of the great broadcasters like Jim Bohannon and Paul Harvey, and I told your broadcast, when Armed Forces Radio overseas would rebroadcast Paul Harvey at noon, things would stop because people wanted to listen to him. That guy never said a cuss word in his life, to my knowledge. You know, when Johnny Carson would come on in the middle late at night, he would make fun of everybody from everywhere. He would make fun of every politician out there, and he never, you know, he was never rude. He was always comical, but he never got profane. He never slighted somebody. And now we got people like Jasmine Crockett, who's trying to be a remake of Michelle Obama, who's trying to be a remake of whatever, and we weren't ready for her braids. You know what? I never cared about Michelle's hair. never even knew it was gay. It was never an issue. So rather than everybody thinking, well, I got to get all hood on this and I got to be all up in this, and you know, I don't care if somebody be texting or not. Let's start being professionals again. Let's start acting like adults. There's no.
I love that, Dave. I love it. For shizzle, Dave. For shizzle. Yes, that means for sure, I think. Got to take a break. We'll research that. Hour two coming up next.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
I was trying to figure out why we have all this noise downstairs. It was like a construction zone, and then I realized that the crew, the staff, is putting together the Christmas decoration. So we are in a festive mood here at the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us. Hour two of the show underway. And Dylan, it's like lots of little elves down there decorating, and they're being very jolly and holly and all that stuff.
All the stuff that I'm not ready for yet. I'm still waiting on Thanksgiving, and then I get into the mood.
So are you one of these guys that's holiday, and then you can focus on the next one?
Yep. So I'm not playing Christmas music until the 28th.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering why I haven't heard any Mannheim Steamroller. I think I put out the order. I want to hear Mannheim Steamroller.
I just refuse. I can't have that. I need Thanksgiving music, which doesn't exist, unfortunately.
Mm.
And then we can transition.
There are really no good Thanksgiving songs, are there?
There's really not. And that should change.
Thank you. That's Michael W. Smith. Forgiving to the Lord.
Maybe we can petition that.
Can I just say, we're going to do a brief pivot for a quick second. We're going to go to Nicole in Ohio. Hang tight, Nicole. But did you guys ever have a class song when you were growing up? You know, like your senior year, you always like do these things. Like you have a class color, a class theme, and a class song.
I don't think I did.
Really?
I don't think so.
Maybe that was just generational, but I graduated in, 85, and we had a class song.
What was it?
It was Bad to the Bone.
And hey, that's kind of fun.
Well, here's the problem, though. No. This is terrible. So we ended up having, what was this? It ended up not being our song. It was a huge scandal at our high school.
Oh, boy.
Because here's the caveat. The marching band has to be able to play the song. And the marching band could not they couldn't master the beats.
That's unfortunate.
So, yeah. So what did, it was like some weird song like My Endless Love or something. And it was so pathetic. And we all got very upset. And it was a big scandal back in 1985 because we were like a bad to the bone class, and we were like, some say love, it is a river.
It's a beautiful duet.
That makes me want to drown. It's a horrible song. I mean, it's a great chick flick love song, you know, so if you're, and they would always play that song at all the school dances.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, My Endless Love is the other one.
My Endless Love.
My endless love.
Well, it's not hard to play. So, I mean, maybe that's why.
But
you have to
then,
cut up some slack here.
Well, that's true. So that's easier to play. And then everybody cry, you know, all the girls cry, mm-hmm. and then the guys put the arm around the shoulder, classic. And the next thing you know, half the senior girls are pregnant. So we didn't have internet back then. Nobody knew. So anyway, all that to say, Michael W. Smith, there was a point to this. I'm getting there. So Michael W. Smith, back in the day, he wrote the song Friends, right? You know the song Friends?
Yes, yes.
You've got to pull the song up now. So Michael W. Smith sang the song Friends, and it was nice, right, the first time you heard it, but it's like every single graduation, every single like going away to college or going away to wherever, at least in our church circle, you would always play that song. And then all the high schools would play that song. And people, I just can't stand that song. It's just you play a song over and over and over again, and it's too much. Oh, gosh. I'm already...
Sing it out.
This song goes out to Nadine in fifth period English and typing. Packing up the dreams, God planted. People are already starting to sniff in the auditorium. In the fertile soil of you. You're planting what in a fertile what? I'm out of here, pal. But we'll keep you close. Here it comes. As always, it won't even seem you've gone. 'Cause our hearts in big and small ways. I did have an enlarged heart. I connected there. Keep the love that keeps. All right, sing it out, America. Just sing it out. Get it out of your system. You know you want to do it. And friends are friends forever. If the Lord is the Lord of them, what about pagans? And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go. Since we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. Ladies and gentlemen of the Todd Stearns audience, just grab a hand wherever you are. You're standing in line at Chick-fil-A, just grab somebody's hand and sing along. Sway if you have a lighter. Okay, we're done. I can't. I just can't.
It's like the song that like your mom would post of all your friends after you graduate.
1,000%.
Just the montage of pictures of friends.
It's true, though.
And then she has, like, the paragraph caption under the Facebook post. That's exactly what that is.
So you know what's going to happen, because here's what it is. All right, so first of all, Stearns hates Disney World, and now he hates Michael W. Smith. I don't hate Michael W. Smith.
It's just your class song. It's unfortunate.
But, you know, it is interesting. He was, like, the bad boy of contemporary Christian music. We only had three when I was coming up. We had Amy Grant. Who was in like leopard print all the time. And then you had Stephen Curtis Chapman, who was like the goody two shoes. And then you had the bad boy Christian, Michael W. Smith, who wore like a leather jacket or something.
See, I grew up with Skillet, so I did have a bad boy.
So you're heavy metal. Wow. That's how far Christian music has come,
it's,
I reckon.
It's come a long way.
I reckon so. But I'm wondering if any of you out there had a had a school song, if your senior class had a song, because they would always play that song and that would be your song. Our colors really sucked because we were like, we came up in the pastel Izod era. We had just come out of parachute pants and that was a horrible look. And then we were into the Izods and it was like, gosh, Dad got transferred down to New Orleans. So it was always like 120 degrees in New Orleans and like 90% humidity. But, Dylan, I'm telling you, every single guy in our senior class wore a sweater tied around his neck because that was the fashion thing.
I mean, you have to.
And you had to have your hair feathered right down the middle.
That's a good look. To bring it back. You should bring it back.
I don't think my hair will let me bring it back. I can't feather
you
that
much. You were talking
about
getting a perm the other day, so you might as well try something.
That's true. I was going to get a wig, though. Yeah. I was going to cheat. It is what it is. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Ohio, Nicole. Nicole, before we get into cussing, did you have a song, your class, when you were in school?
I graduated in 1984, and I don't think so. I think we were older than that. I think that came along with your generation.
Well, I'm just 85. I'm like 1 year younger than you, Nicole. It's... You know,
that's what's weird about it.
Nicole, when you go back and look at your old high school yearbooks, you're like, we all look like we were in our 40s in high school.
Serious. That was your generation, I'm telling you.
Wow. It is funny when you go back and look, you're like, holy crap, we look old, and what are we wearing?
Right, because it was the way that the pictures were taken.
That's it.
That's what it was.
Even the sixth graders had like six packs and, you know, full beards. Oh, my Lord.
Your funny talks, darn.
What's going on? What's going on, Nicole?
Geez, Lou, you were talking about the English people being in prison for free speech. And I had recently came up with a concept for it. And I think it covers it. It's called, because the English like to say woolly to be confused. And I said, well, woolly, wake up. How could you, you know, you have to wake up and realize that your friends, your citizenry is being thrown in jail. So it's a woolly wake up moment.
Oh.
And I think maybe it applies to everybody.
I think you may be right about that, Nicole. That's a great point. No, every now and again, I'll let something inadvertently slip. You know, I'm going to be honest about it. It's, you know, I don't think you can trust somebody who says they've never cursed.
Good.
I don't think you can do that. All right. Well, Nicole, thank you for calling in, and thanks for reminiscing. We just got a note from one of our listeners in Collierville, Tennessee. The Collierville dance team did a senior routine every year, and we did ours to that Michael W. Smith song. That was 1997, back in the day. It's hard to imagine. That's like almost 30 years ago now. That's it. Man, we're getting old. We're getting old. That's it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Just getting in this note from Capitol Hill, and this is pretty despicable. Democrats just refused to condemn the horrors of socialism today. That's insane. There were no poison pills in the resolution. It was straight up a resolution condemning the horrors of socialism, and 100 Democrats simply refused to do so. What does that tell you about the Democrat Party? Well, I'm telling you, folks, the Democrats have taken a not just a hard left turn. They have lurched to the left. It is an ugly, ugly thing that's happening. All right. Oh, we've got to take a break here. And I do want to thank our good friends, the Real Housewives of Germantown, we call them the Kristens because they're both named Kristen. And they came and decorated one of our doors. We're going to post a photo of our building, and it's really exciting. We've got folks in the community that want to come, and they want to decorate our doors, and we're kind of having a big contest here. It's a lot of fun, but certainly thank all the great folks that are making our little studios, our little news bunker, a very festive one this Christmas season. We'll be right back.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
All right, let's head over to Southwest Kansas, KGYN, great radio station out there. Ken, how's it going today, sir?
Mr. Starnes, what a privilege. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to do it, Ken. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to lift a prayer up for President Trump and that meeting he's going to have with Mondani. I think it's important. I'm proud of you for doing it.
What do you think the president's gonna say? You know, the president says he's gonna be cordial, so he's not gonna go after him.
If he's gonna be nice, then I have no idea what he's gonna say.
See, I don't think he's gonna be nice.
I don't know. I think he'll call him out on lots of items that he needs to call him out on. I hope.
Hmm. It's a good point. Well, we're going to be paying attention. I'll be covering it tonight on Newsmax during the show. That meeting actually happens after our radio show wraps up. So we'll see what happens later today.
That's great. Mr. Starnes, I wanted to thank you again for my devotional Star Spangled Blessings. My plan is to order a whole bunch of them and give them for, like you said, stocking stuffers. That's my goal.
Well, thank you. That really means a lot. Michelle and I had a lot of fun writing that book, and she's my writing partner when we do devotion books. And that was a lot of fun. And honestly, both of us learned a lot of new things we did not know about American history.
I have also, likewise, that's the way I've been reading it too, sir. Also, I got some really good alternative cuss words for you if you want to hear them.
Oh, I'm all ears.
So we had a lady growing up, it'd been my aunt's mother-in-law. She was a South Texas lady, and she would say, when she listened to your story, she'd say, oh, my word.
Oh, my, oh, my word.
My favorite was she'd say, well, goodness gracious sakes alive.
Oh, I've heard that before a time or two.
That was about every word you could get in there and still not be a cuss word.
She covers all her bases.
She did, sir. She did.
All right, we're gonna have a poster made up, I think, Ken, in the studio. So, Dylan, the next time one of the leftists calls in and they get my gander up, I'm gonna have to look over and use one of the words.
There you go. That's, I love it. I'm proud of you. Quick story about Ben Johnson, famous actor, cowboy actor. He told him he would never cuss or be with a naked woman on TV, and they honored his wishes, and he became a star in the Western. But he had two things he would not do.
Is that right?
I learned that. I read a documentary on him just not too long ago.
And his name is Ben Johnson.
The famous world champion roper, and then he was also an Oscar-winning actor for years.
Well, I'm going to look into that, and that's good to know. I know we actually, Dylan and I both know somebody who is pretty much, that's their mantra as well, going into, you know, movies and theater and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're just not going to use bad language, and I certainly respect that.
Yes, sir. We were blessed growing up, but my father hardly ever cussed. He told us when he heard us say a cuss word that we weren't very educated, we'd have better language.
There you go. My mom, I only did it one time. My mom washed my mouth out with soap. It was the Palmolive or Dove. Whatever it is, I to this day can't stand the smell of it.
I always wonder. I don't know if anybody that had their mouth officially washed out with soap. I always wonder what that was like.
Yeah, it's unpleasant.
Well, thank you and your crew for what you're doing. God bless you. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Ken, happy Thanksgiving to you, and thanks for calling in. And let's go to Morehead City, North Carolina. John's about to drop some knowledge on us. Hey, John, what's going on?
Not much, Todd, but Dylan said something in Trigger Brain Cell out there. Dashing Through the Snow was originally written for Thanksgiving, but everybody likes to play it at Christmas time.
So you're talking about Jingle Bells?
No. It might be Jingle Bells, but it was originally made for Thanksgiving.
So the original song, and we know it as Jingle Bells, but the original song was called One Horse Open Sleigh. And you are absolutely correct, though, John. It was actually written for Thanksgiving and not Christmas.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, so there, Dylan, there you have it. That's your Thanksgiving song.
I don't accept. I'm sorry.
Giblet Bells.
I can see how that's the case because I read about that. It's like the Thanksgiving sleigh races.
Mm-hmm.
But all of its uses, as the song is all in these Christmas albums.
You know, in the Midwest, they do something. It's called pumpkin chunkins. And what they'll do is they put these pumpkins in these huge cannons, and they fire the pumpkins into the air.
That's pretty. Can we have that? Can we do that here at the station?
We can do that.
Okay.
Yeah,
we
they
need
actually,
a cannon.
Yeah, no, they have an actual world championship pumpkin chunkin' event.
Wow.
We should enter that.
Please.
So, all right, there you go. That you have to sign a waiver of liability.
Of course. Of course you do.
And I think you have to have full insurance coverage. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
All right, welcome back, everybody. By the way, President Trump is catching holy you-know-what right now from the Democrats and the media and even some Republicans over his comments about these six Democrats who are basically calling for an insurrection. They're calling for U.S. military troops to disobey orders. That cannot happen, and Trump is absolutely right to call out this sort of seditious behavior, and he has to do it. Otherwise, we're going to have anarchy in this country. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, bring in our good friend, nationally syndicated radio host, Joe Messina from California. Joe, good to have you with us today.
Well, good morning. I have a great time. And listen, I don't know if you know this, but it's been raining in California for the last 10 days. So I got my cubit measurements out because I think we're going to have to build an ark if this keeps up. Keep none of this water. All this water will go to the sea.
Jeez, oh, Lou. Yeah. They still haven't learned their lesson about, you know, when the rain falls, you should collect that and use it during the drought season.
You know, I could do a whole hour on how much they've charged us in taxes to build the reservoirs and move that water into those reservoirs, but they haven't done it yet. They haven't built them. So in the last major rainfall, 80% of that water went out to sea, just like you said. And it's going to, same thing is happening right now.
Joe, I'm curious how things are going out in California. I know I was looking at some polling data that indicated Steve Hilton was actually leading the pack right now in the gubernatorial race out there.
He is. I was surprised, Frank. I got to be honest with you. I was really surprised, you know, being that he was on Fox for so long, has that conservative kind of aura around him, if you would. And he's really hard. He's really being hard. I'm loving it that he's being hard on Governor Newsom right now. He's calling out everything that he's doing. And that's what we need to do out here. But, you know, Todd, mainstream media out here doesn't report on anything negative about Newsom. I'm talking nothing.
Really, nothing at all. I mean, as horrible as things are out there.
Yep. No, Nothing about the water, nothing about the fires, and, you know, he blamed the fires on climate change. Nobody questioned him in any of the interviews. You know, the amount of money, we're 20 years into this. He hasn't built one homeless facility or shelter to speak of. They call him out on nothing. It's amazing to me.
There are a couple of polls out there I want to get you to weigh in on. One is EMC Research, I believe, California Governor's Race, Steve Hilton, 20%, Katie Porter, the Democrat, 16%, Chad Bianco, another Republican, 14%, of course, Swalwell coming in at 11%. This was from CNN's reporting. I mean, they're talking about this. Then you've got another interactive poll, Becerra. This is the Becerra internal poll. Chad Bianco leading 16%, Katie Porter 15%, Steve Hilton 12%. You guys have what they call a jungle primary out there. How does that work?
Yeah, I jokingly call it a guerrilla primary. It's the two top vote getters. And believe it or not, Republicans voted for this. And I was thinking, how dull can you be? We've got a majority Democrat registration, and you're willing to let the two top vote getters in the primary to come into the race. So most of those races end up with two Democrats as opposed to a Democrat and a Republican.
Wow. This is insane right now. Again, yep. EMC Research found 20% of likely voters are going to be supporting Steve Hilton in the race. If these numbers hold, and if we could somehow bolster Chad Bianco, maybe get a few more Democrats in there, you could have an insane race where two Republicans, theoretically, could be the top two vote getters.
I don't even understand, Todd, how Katie Porter can have the numbers that she has, given what she's done, what she's been caught doing. It just shows you, you know, when Newsom was recalled, or was supposed to be recalled, he won big time. And when he re-ran for governor, he didn't even really do any advertising to speak of. And when you talk to Democrats, they said, look, I'd rather have him than a Republican. They have done such a great job in scaring the general populace out here that Republicans are just so bad for the economy, bad for safety, all of that, that they keep voting Democrat no matter what. But I hope you're right. Last poll I saw, it was almost 70% of Californians would be willing to vote for a Republican based on what's happening in the state.
So we went and looked at the numbers here, and apparently California has not had a Republican elected in a statewide race since 2011, and the last Republican governor was Arnold Schwarzenegger back in 2006.
Yeah, the Republican guy. You know, the joke when he was governor was, I know vast majority of the assemblymen, they wore name tags whenever he came into a room because they said he didn't know anybody's name. He didn't hang out with them. So he got it on name recognition, and he learned real fast. I don't know if you remember, but he tried to put through some initiatives, and he learned real fast that, you know, he didn't have the power he thought he had, and the Dems weren't going to work with him.
So I'm curious, Prop 50, and, of course, the judges involved in the Texas case, they're going to appeal that ruling. Meanwhile, you guys, your governor, still going forward with, you know, with his plan to decimate the Republican districts?
Oh, yeah. And you know what the funny thing about that was, when he put the original prop forward, there was a line in there that said, if Texas didn't go through with their redistricting, then California would not do it. They took that out in the very last.
Of course they did.
They did. They took it out. Nobody was paying attention, and it's not in there right now. But my understanding is they are being challenged in court with this. If you want to see that we really don't know, we really don't have a balanced legal system, if they can Texas and they let California go forward, you know what's at foot here.
Joe Messina on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, and President Trump defending the punishable by death comment that he made regarding that Democrat military video. Joe, I've never seen anything like this, where the Democrats are now openly calling for military members to refuse what they're calling illegal orders.
You mean communists, right? David Horowitz.
Well, it's true.
I used to have him on the show, and he would get so mad at me for calling them Democrats. He kept calling them communists. But I agree. I mean, but it's not just here. Think about it. They're calling anything they can do to bury Trump, basically. Anything they can do to hold up illegal aliens. Anything they can do. Look at the judges right now that let those I can't remember their names, but let a couple of people go who were ramming the DOJ vans, right? The judges are not upholding the law either.
Joe, all right, where can people go if they want to get more information about all your great work?
I make it very simple, joemessina.com, joemessina.com.
All right, my friend, good hearing from you as always.
God bless, Todd. Keep up the
good
work.
All right, good man right there, Joe Messina, everybody on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, it is interesting when you look at our president and the language he uses. The president is very deliberate. You know, a lot of people think, oh, the guy, you know, he talks off the cuff. No, I don't think he does. I think he's very deliberate. He chooses his words carefully, and the president knows exactly the message that he's trying to convey. No doubt about it. By the way, don't forget, tonight I'll be on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax, and a little bit later in the evening I'll be filling in for Rob Finnerty. Millions of Americans are now watching Newsmax on cable. They're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in the country. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, streaming, and download the free app today. Takes really just seconds to start. And by the way, let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
And welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to share some audio with you. Let me get my audio list, which I can't seem to find. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, a little discombobulated. What can I say? So, anyway, we had a yesterday on the show. We were talking on the Newsmax show. We were talking to two students, one at Rhodes College, the other at Clemson University. And we've noticed that there's been an uptick in the aggressiveness of these liberals attacking conservatives on these campuses. You think things would have quieted down after Charlie Kirk's assassination. That is simply not true. Let's take a listen to that panel.
Joining me now is Jackson Heberlin, the outreach chair of the Clemson University College Republicans, and Jack Herman, founder and president of the Young Americas Foundation chapter at Rhodes College in Memphis. Guys, good to see you with us. So, Jackson, you guys have been filming a lot of these encounters. What's going on out there? You would think things will be getting better on campus.
I mean, like, basically every campus we go to, and we just have, like, Change My Mind events, somebody freaks out like crazy. This literally happened to me 2 days ago. And we see this behavior basically everywhere we go, and it's absolutely mind-blowing. We have people who will scream, like, 2 days ago someone erased my sign and ran away and stole our marker. It really is mind-blowing. And you wonder what the strategy is. Like, I don't know what people seek to accomplish. This isn't really effective activism. It's just irrational freakouts. It blows my mind every time I see it.
Jack, I know that at Rhodes College, which is a pretty liberal school, you actually started a YAF chapter there. What was that experience like for you trying to get that club approved on campus?
Yeah, it was definitely a difficult process. When I went through the student allocations committee, I was asked some ridiculous questions. in the Sharon statement of YAF, it says that communism is the biggest threat to democracy. And I was told that that is not inclusive of some of our students on campus. And I think that just some trying to spread communist ideals is just ridiculous. And this kind of misinformation is just going rampant around college campuses.
Wait, so you're telling me that there, Rhodes College in the southern states, you guys apparently have communists on campus?
I guess so. Apparently, I was asked how we are inclusive of those students. And frankly, I just said that, we probably should not be supporting communism on our campus.
Yeah, that's a pretty good response to that question. Unbelievable. Well, guys, Oklahoma State University, which has sort of been a hotbed of this anti-conservative action and activism, they released a statement saying, Oklahoma State University supports free speech. The OSU Police Department is actively investigating this incident. But the reality here, Jackson, and we have seen this on campuses across the country, is that these universities are not protecting conservative speech on their campus. What say you?
I mean, we've never seen anything get done. We've had people heckle at us, race signs all the time. I've never once seen an outcome that has reached a suspension or anything. I wonder what would happen if someone like me went up to like a leftist stand and freaked out, like destroyed their signs. I feel like the reaction would be a little bit different, but no, we've seen absolutely no pushback on people trying to suppress conservative speech at any campus that we've been to.
Jack, you're a freshman, and that's a pretty bold thing you did, starting a club there on campus. Why was it important for you that conservatives had a voice at Rhodes?
Yeah, I felt like, especially after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, there was just a lot of misinformation being spread around campus, and there was no voice for conservatives. A lot of frats had, posted signs with "Rest in Peace, Charlie Kirk," and they were torn down, and nothing was done by the university, and it was time that we got our voice out there.
Guys, I want to switch gears here. Oakland University in Michigan, they are throwing something called a Transgender Thanksgiving Celebration. So our team did a little research trying to figure out what we don't know what that is. Maybe the turkey identifies as a meatloaf. We don't know. But it's called the third annual Transgiving Dinner, described as a, quote, trans-affirming table for the entire OU campus. Jackson, I'm just curious, this particular issue, the gender wars and the pronoun confusion, has that been a big issue on your campus?
See, we actually don't see too much of that over here. I feel like the big problem is Michigan. Like, there's just something going on. You can be at Transgiving and drive 30 minutes south and you're at Dearborn. Like, there's something going on there. But, I mean, we're seeing it at all kinds of campuses where this gender ideology war is taking over, but at least where I'm at in my neck of the woods, people are a lot more sane about it.
Jack, when you're talking to students here on campus at Rhodes, what are some of the big issues facing young people, Gen Z?
I think that especially for conservatives, it's just hard to get our voice out there with the environment that we're in. In a small liberal arts college, we really are in the minority, and it is tough to really get something going here and try to get our voice out there. And I think that's really important for the conservative movement.
Mm, there you go. Great guys. And we appreciate them coming on Newsmax yesterday. By the way, we looked into that transgender Thanksgiving celebration, Dylan, and it's a little disturbing. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's one of these deals where the turkey identifies as like a meatloaf.
Mm.
We went through the menu. I'm just going to say steer clear of the giblet gravy. Don't touch the giblets.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, don't do that. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Susie, talk to me. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you.
And tell you I appreciate you. And I want to tell you that you're talking about the wheelchair service at the airport.
Yes.
How people abuse that. Well, I'm a senior grandmama, Todd, and 2 years ago, I got to use that service for the first time because my son's a pilot for Southwest, and I could not navigate Atlanta Airport by myself, Todd. I was just, not that I can't walk, I just couldn't figure it out. And so I was very, very grateful for that service, and I just had a gracious tip, cash tip, and I mean, it was such a blessing to me to have that.
Susie, I get it. I've been to that Atlanta airport, and man, is it hard to navigate in there.
Yes, it is, and the trains, knowing which train to get on and which train to get off and get where your terminal, it's just very confusing to a senior citizen.
I completely understand. By the way, Susie, my aunt Norma Sue is turning 90 years old, and she lives in Roswell, and we're coming to town. We're having a big shindig on Sunday.
Oh, well, that's great. I'm going to Roswell on Thursday for Thanksgiving. Well, that's great, Todd. Roswell's a nice town.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but nice things about Roswell.
Yes, it's an old town. Downtown is very old. Are you driving down?
You know, I'm still undecided, Susie. By the time you get through, you know, because everybody's flying on, you know, today and tomorrow. And yeah. So I'm thinking about just driving over.
Yeah, I don't blame you. My son says Thanksgiving Day is not bad. But like you say, the week before and the day before Thanksgiving is a killer.
Oh, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Todd, I just want to say I am thankful that God has allowed me to live 80 years as a free person in this United States. And I'm so thankful that he allowed Donald Trump to be our president for these 4 years. And I just pray for him every day for safety and for wisdom.
Amen to that, Susie. Amen to that. And you don't sound a day over 40.
Well, I hope to meet you sometime in Gainesville.
Well, we're going to make that happen. We're working out an event with our friends at WDUN. So we'll let you know when we get all that worked out. And I hope to be back in the North Georgia Mountains. Susie, you take care of yourself. Folks, we got to take a quick break. Hour three of the big show coming up. Also, we're going to throw out a couple of trivia questions, too. Have a little bit of fun. It's Friday, right? You got to kick back. And I got my popcorn ready, my Orville Redenbacher, and my Baptist Martini ready to go for the festivities in the Oval Office. That's going to be fun. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Has it been a little... It's been weird today. I don't know why, but it was just we're sort of meandering through the day. Good to have you with us. By the way, President Trump is going to welcome Zohran Mamdani into the Oval Office today. Here's what Mamdani had to say about President Trump, and of course, the president wanting to send in the ICE agents into New York City, the Big Apple, cut number five.
But if you want to pursue your promise to create the single largest deportation force in American history, or your promise to persecute and punish your political enemies, then you will have to get through me to do that here in New York City.
Yeah, okay. We shall see how that goes. We'll keep you updated on that. Also, a Jasmine Crockett update to share with you. Another one. Shucking and jiving. Good God. All righty. I was trying not to culturally appropriate anymore. I'm doing a New Year's resolution, Dylan.
That's really early.
So, yes. I don't want to be like Jasmine Crockett.
Yeah, me either.
And
it's a good one.
I mean, she be shucking and jiving, mm-hmm. and I be not wanting to do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jasmine Crockett, again, saying that all of you white people in the South are apparently lynching black people, and this is not like back in the 1920s. This is like right now in the year of our Lord, 2025, Jasmine Crockett says white people are lynching blacks every day in the South. Take a listen.
Honestly, they're about to outlaw the idea of white supremacy and white hate. Like, they are about to be like, oh, that's not a thing. Forget the fact that you're talking about getting rid of, like, the classification for nooses in a time in which we have seen these random black bodies be strung up down south. Also, seemingly at a time in which you're back in office. Because what you do is you embolden the hate. You embolden everybody to take off their hoods. That is what he has done. He is the one that is producing this violence.
May I just say something on behalf of all the Caucasian people in America? Is that permissible, ladies and gentlemen? May I speak on behalf of all people of the Caucasian persuasion? We be not wanting anyone to be lynched. That, seriously. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with this woman? What's wrong with you, Jasmine Crockett? For the record, the people doing all the lynching happen to be Democrats. As a matter of fact, when you go back and look at your history, that's right, I said it, history, you'll discover that it was the Democrats who started the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. It was the Democrats. As a matter of fact, it was Joe Biden himself who boasted frequently about lunching with the segregationist within his own party back in the late 1960s and early 70s. So if Jasmine Crockett wants to have that conversation, happy to have it. As a matter of fact, Jasmine Crockett fails to realize that back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, some of the wealthiest people in the southern states happened to be black people who were not only living their American dream, they were going above and beyond that. Some of the most successful businesses in the southern states owned by black people back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. An incredibly prosperous time for the black community. But Jasmine Crockett conveniently leaves all that stuff out. And I don't know, maybe she is an ignorant woman. I don't know. But you don't have to be ignorant. You can actually educate yourself. If you want to, you can read a book and you can learn. That's what we try to do here on this program. We try to learn you some knowledge. All right, let's be going to the phone lines, 901-260-5926, Steve in Georgia. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Todd.
I think I need a curse word right now.
Well, I hope this will substitute. And if I have time for a second point about the Mondami thing. But there is a comedian, the funniest guy you've never heard of. He'll never be on late night TV because he's too normal and too clean. His name is Tim Hawkins. If you look him up on YouTube and type in 100 Christian swear words, you will hear him go through the alphabet with all the dadgummit, dad blasted, dadgone it, doggone it. He'll just go through the alphabet. He'll rattle off 20 or 30. He'll take a breath and do the next and take a breath and finish up. It's one of the funniest things. And because you brought up that earlier caller about the, you're going to put a list up there. You're going to have a long list, Todd, if you go watch that video of Tim Hawkins. And he appears in big churches and small town performing arts centers.
Oh, well, this is good to know. I'm going to look this guy up. Tim Hawkins is his name.
Sir. Yes, sir. And now if I can switch gears real quick to the meeting with Mondami and President Trump. You know, in the first Rocky movie, Rocky Balboa goes through, you know, she asks him, why would you want to be a fighter? And he goes, you know, you got to be a moron to want to be a fighter. It's an occupation where you're almost guaranteed to end up as a bum. So you got to be a moron to be a communist. If you look at the father of communism and the father of socialism, Marx and Rousseau, they were both terrible fathers. Well, in fact, Rousseau just gave up all 5 illegitimate children at birth to the midwife, and they were taken straight away to the orphanage or the church. We need to out these people. This is not character assassination, Todd. This is exposing these people who authored these horrible documents which defy human nature, and these people need to be, you know, forget their teachings. We already know what that's turned out like. But these people need to be outed, not through character assassination, but to exposing the truth about them. And I salute you, Todd, for on your Fridays, especially being, I think you could be one of the founding members of the 4F Club, not the teenage boy version, but the Faith, Family, Freedom, and Fun 4F Club.
Oh.
Thank you, sir, for allowing me to say all that.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I didn't get one of those Fs, so I'm glad you said fun. Thank you. Kind words there. Thank you, Steve. By the way, Dylan, have you seen Rocky? Have you seen the original Rocky movie?
Oh, yeah.
So you remember when they're he's running up the stairs, right? Yep. Remember that of the was that the museum? Yeah, it's the Philadelphia Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. That's actually a real building, and it's right around the corner from the Amtrak station in Philadelphia. And for many, many years when I was living in New York City, I go down, and my mom had some family in South Jersey over by the Atlantic City, Jersey Shore. And so I'd take the train down, and I would have a little bit of time. I'd walk up those stairs. I didn't run up the stairs like Sylvester Stallone did.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, there's a backstory. I heard Stallone doing an interview about that whole – he mentioned Rocky, mm-hmm. and it reminded me of this. So they had no budget for that film. I mean, hardly any money at all. And so they were trying to find a place where they could film without having to get a permit. And the original plan was for Sylvester Stallone to run up the stairs with his dog. I mean, that was the original plan. But it turned out the dog weighed like 130 pounds.
Boy.
And he couldn't carry the dog up the stairs.
The dog needed the same training that Rocky was getting.
Exactly. Exactly. So Rocky left the dog, and then you get this iconic historic thing. But that whole scene, and that is like one of the most incredible, memorable, iconic scenes in all of cinema. And it was because they were looking for a cheap place where you didn't have to have a permit. That's
wow.
The story. That's wow. The story. So
risk takers.
Yeah. Also, they had a new camera device that had never been used before, and it was called the Steadicam, which is now just a regular piece of film equipment. But back then it was brand new. And so if you were going to watch that in the theaters for the first time, you sort of felt like you were running up the stairs with Sylvester Stallone. So it was just a great story. And I love these little tidbits, you know, the backstory of, hey, how did this happen?
Yeah, that's fun Rocky trivia right there.
Gotta love it. I've got some great Godfather trivia.
Ooh.
I love that movie.
Mm, that's a good series.
Yeah.
Except for four.
So, yeah.
Or three. What
three.
Is it?
It's three. Three. It's three. Yeah, that was tragic. You were kind of rooting for everybody to die by the end of that one.
Let's get it over with. It's mm-hmm. 6 hours long.
All right. Speaking of that, I've got a trivia question, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a fun one. All right. The world's largest store decided to throw a parade in 1924. Can you name the store and the parade? The world's largest store decided to throw a parade in 1924. Can you name the store and the parade? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here. Georgia, and we were going to go to Lily, but Lily hung up. Let's go to Kent in Kent in Georgia. Hi, Kent. What's on your mind today? How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Kent, I want you to turn down your radio there in the background.
Got it. I did.
All right. Very good. All right. We're going to try to win you a prize here. We want to know this, and this is it could be a trick question. I don't think it is, but the world's largest store decided to throw a parade in New York City in 1924. Can you name the store and the parade?
I'm just guessing it was the Macy's Parade and the Macy's Christmas Parade.
Oh, no, that is not correct. That is not correct. I am sorry. It is not the Macy's Christmas Parade. So, my goodness. Let's go to Tim in Georgia. Tim, how are you today? Hello, Tim. We lost Tim. All right, let's go to... Well, this is more difficult than I thought.
I don't know what's happening.
What the heck is going on? Let's go to Bill in North Carolina. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Very well, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. All right, world's largest store threw a parade, New York City, 1924. Can you name the store and the parade?
I think it would be Macy's and Macy's Thanksgiving Parade.
You are correct, Bill. Hold on, Bill. What is that? Is that an actual Macy's Parade marching band?
This is from the 2009 Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade.
Is it really?
It is.
Do we know what band that is?
I don't.
You know, McDonald's, they do the big band. They pick somebody from every, from every state.
It's always a pretty good college that plays.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Hey, Bill, congratulations. You are the winner.
Thank you.
Do you watch the
shucking and jiving? I'm so happy.
Shucking and jiving. I see what you did there. Bill shucking and jiving. All right, Bill. We're going to send you a copy of my brand new book, Star Spangled Blessings. You're going to love it. And Bill, thank you for listening to us, and thanks for calling in today. Dylan, what happened with that segment?
I have no clue.
I think we kind of lost control of it.
He was one word off with the Christmas, and then I'm trigger happy over here, as you know.
He said Christmas. So. He said Christmas.
It was so close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Santa Claus is at the end of the... You know, I had to cover that parade one year at Fox.
Is it chaos?
It's a lot of fun, actually. Mm-hmm. But the problem is I stepped out of the... they have all the police barricades, and I wanted to step out to do a live report, and I realized I couldn't get back in, and I became a part of the parade. And I'm doing this report, and I feel something... You know how you can feel like a shadow... Mm-hmm. Hovering over you, and I'm like, what is going on? I kind of felt like there was an eclipse happening, and so I turn around, and all I see is SpongeBob. So I nearly got run over by the SpongeBob SquarePants balloon. That thing was massive.
That's very scary, Todd.
It's very strange.
Wow. I'm glad you're okay.
I was fine. I was a little nervous, and then I was really concerned about the Kinky Boots people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a Broadway musical.
Yep.
And you don't want to be around those folks.
Well, you don't want to get caught in it, too, mm-hmm. if you have to be performing.
No. That's, dude, wear your Kinky Boots. I'm like, yeah, that's not me. That's not my style.
I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a lot of fun, and one of the big activities for New Yorkers, it takes several days to blow up these balloons. And so they do those over on the Upper West Side in all the streets that sort of butt up against Central Park. And they block all of it off, and they throw a huge party. So you're able to walk around and watch all your favorite balloons being inflated. And they have cocoa and cookies. And Macy's does a really remarkable job. But here's the thing. You notice all the people that are in the bleachers. Those are only reserved for Macy's employees and their families. So if you're a civilian, you just shop at Macy's. Well, you have to stand, but everybody else, you know, all the employees and their families, they get to the exclusive seats. It's pretty cool.
I didn't know that. That is cool.
All right, we're going to throw another trivia question out there, only because I feel like it today. On Tuesday, President Trump and the First Lady will pardon turkeys at the White House. We want to know, who was the very first president to pardon a turkey? Who was the very first president to pardon a turkey at the White House? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. The very first president to pardon a turkey at the White House. This is a trick question, by the way. I'm just gonna warn everybody, it's a trick question. Dylan, do you know?
I think I know because we've done it, but I can't really off the top of my
head. We haven't done this question. We've done it another.
Maybe, yeah, definitely don't.
There's a key word missing, and I think it's going to throw people off.
Oh, I was thinking about the groundhog. Okay. I don't want to confuse people. This is not.
Do they kill groundhogs at the White House?
It was something about Groundhog Day and presidents and something. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
it was like a pet.
No, Bill de Blasio was the mayor of New York City. And, you know, you got the famous groundhog is Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah.
And Robin Poffman goes over every year to cover that big event. And it's in Bald Knob? Gobbler's Knob. Gobblers. Something another. Yeah. Naked Knob? I don't know. It's Gobbler's Knob.
There's knobs.
So anyway, then over in New York City, you got Staten Island Chuck, who sounds like a pretty aggressive creature anyway. So Staten Island Chuck didn't want to come out of the out of the cage. So Bill de Blasio puts his hand in there, which you're not supposed to do, and literally tries to drag the groundhog. And Staten Island Chuck said, to hell with that, and bit the mayor. And so the mayor's hand comes out. I had to cover this story. The mayor's hand comes out. He's got like a gopher or whatever. Oh, well, not gopher. What do you call them? Groundhogs. Got the groundhog, and he's trying to shake the groundhog off. The groundhog goes flying and got killed.
Oh, my God.
Bill de Blasio killed Staten Island Chuck.
Gosh.
Good golly. I mean, it was terrible.
It's tragic.
And then you had, oh, it was awful. And you had PETA out there, and it was just a big mess.
Of course.
And so,
you don't mess with the groundhogs on Groundhog Day.
No,
don't. They make the decisions here.
Don't mess with Staten Island Chuck or anybody else from Staten Island for that matter. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. The first president to pardon a turkey. Who was that? We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. Don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Then Monday, we're very excited about something that's going to happen here in the Memphis area. Got a call from the Justice Department a few days ago, and they asked if I would be interested in helping to feed the troops, and we are going to do that. Our team, we're going to be feeding 1,000 National Guard troops and federal officers, and we're going to tell you about some of the very special guests that are going to be joining us from Washington for this event. And I've got to give a big shout out to my just great friend, a great supporter of what we do here, Jim LoSapio, one of the top restaurateurs in the Memphis area. And they're going to be providing the food, and we're looking forward to just saying thank you to the great men and women that are patrolling the streets of West Tennessee and Memphis. Real quick, let's go to Oregon. And Debbie, we have a trivia question on the table. Debbie, this is a tough one, but we need to know the name of the first president who pardoned a turkey. Who was that?
Okay, the first unofficial president to pardon a turkey was John F. Kennedy, but the first official pardon was George H.W. Bush.
Oh, Debbie. No, you got George H.W. right, but not JFK. That was not the first president to pardon a turkey. Debbie, good try, though. A good guess. Give us a call, ladies and gentlemen, 901-260-5926. Let's go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to a man who wants to be the next congressman from Middle Tennessee, District 7. Matt Van Epps is running in a hotly contested race. And Matt, first of all, good to have you with us. Second of all, you can't answer the trivia question.
Got it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. Honored to be on this afternoon. And thank you for it sounds amazing, that event to feed the troops and law enforcement in Memphis. That is incredible. I'm an Army veteran, West Point grad, and just really appreciate that.
I'm not going to reveal the menu. We're going to feed them well. They're going to have a hard time patrolling later that night. I'll just leave it at that. So
that means it's going to be well done. That's outstanding.
Well, we're really excited to do what we can, you know, here in West Tennessee. You know, Matt, I'm excited about your campaign. You've got a lot of people out there that are backing you, from President Trump, Marsha Blackburn, Bill Hagerty. And how is the race going so far?
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much. We're honored to have the support of the president and on down, and so many folks across the district. We in the primary, we built support from over 40 local leaders as well, from county mayors, highway superintendents, sheriffs, farmers, business leaders, and then we got endorsed by Mark Green and Jim Jordan, Mike Karadopoulos, Governor Lee, and then President Trump, leading into our primary win. And so we're excited by this coalition that we've built and all of the supporters. We feel good. We're out in front right now. We're going to deliver a decisive win on December 2nd. But we're urging everyone to get out and vote. As you know, special elections are all about turnout. So we're trying to get everybody out, put the jersey on, get on the field, and vote for Matt Van Epps now through November 26th in the early, and then December 2nd for the general election.
No, well, Jim's a good friend, and he's on the program a lot. And also, Herodopoulos, great guy, and we have him on our Newsmax show quite a bit. So you've got good people in your corner.
Yes, sir.
You know, this is, we've been, it's fascinating watching the national coverage. You know, you've generated a lot of attention. Kamala Harris is out there campaigning, you know, for your opponent, Afton Bain. And she is basically, I've kind of described her as AOC with blonde hair. Is that a pretty good description? Because she's a radical leftist.
It is. It is. That the contrast and the difference between the two of us could not be more clear. Afton is the AOC of Tennessee. She, you probably saw the video that just went out with her saying she hates Nashville.
Yeah, and, as a matter of fact, we've got that. Dylan, let's play cut number 9, please.
I've been heavily involved with the Nashville mayoral race because I hate the city. I hate the bachelorettes. I hate the pedal taverns. I hate country music. I hate all of the things that make Nashville, apparently, an it city to the rest of the country. But I hate it. Yeah, I'm that girl at the airport that all these bachelorettes are giddy walking out in their two-toned colored Pantone pink shirts. And they walk out and I'm like, they're like, oh my God, Nashville is so bad.
They're so loud.
All right, what in the name of Minnie Pearl is she thinking here? I mean, she hates country music?
I don't know, but what I love Nashville. I love country music. I love our district. I met my wife in Nashville, and we started a family here. And it's just like our entire 14 counties. It's a great, great part of our district, and we'll be honored to represent Nashville and country music. And it doesn't stop there. Our opponent has publicly endorsed Mamdani in New York City. Has been endorsed by the socialists. Jasmine Crockett and Kamala Harris have been in town or supporting her, and she is as far left as you can get, and it's the opposite of what we stand for. We stand with families and farmers and small businesses. Was honored to be endorsed by the NFIB, and we've got a vision to address affordability and drive down the cost of living. Through housing and energy and healthcare and supporting our law enforcement to keep the border strong, to deport criminal illegal aliens. And you just kind of go down the list, and the contrast could not be more clear.
One of the headlines in Tennessee, Democrats hope a coalition of the pissed off will flip a red district. And I've seen some polling out there that suggests this race may be close. I don't think it is. I'm going to be the guy that says this is solidly a Republican district. But what are you seeing out there? And, you know, again, it is all contingent upon Republicans getting out and voting.
That's absolutely true. We are in a very strong position. We're going to win decisively on December 2nd. But we need everybody to get out right now. And, you know, I think the other part to this, too, is that this is a bellwether. This is a litmus test and a check, and we want to have really high numbers going into 2026, so that we deliver for the president and for America first, and we set the tone for midterm elections, and we carry that on strong. We need folks to get out and vote, but we are in a position of strength, and we're gonna stay in that position as well.
I'm curious to get your thoughts on a big story out of Washington. And of course, if you were in Congress now, you would be weighing in on this. The 6 Democrat lawmakers who told military personnel to disobey illegal orders. And President Trump says this is nothing more than sedition. What do you say about that, being a military veteran?
Well, I think first and foremost, the president has Americans and American interests at the top of his mind all the time, to drive America first, to keep us safe and protected, to deploy the National Guard in Memphis, which I support, and the federal assets going there to drive, ensure that we have low crime and we get after that. And I think, you know, as I think back to my time in service, I think what the Democrats have come out and said here is just not, it's not right. They're conflating what they're saying. And I support the president and am eager to get to Congress to fight alongside him. You know, at the end of the day, we are for law and order. Our opponent has put herself on TikTok harassing ICE agents and law enforcement. And the difference just could not be more clear.
I want to ask you, and on this program, we just, you know, we don't work off talking points. And one of the things, and, you know, people have been weighing in on our social media pages, they were really concerned about some of the decisions that you made regarding COVID. Do you regret any of those things?
I don't. That is fake news. I don't use that term often or frequently, but a lot of that, and it was countered and dispelled in the primary election. I was asked to volunteer on the state's unified command group, which I was proud to do, and as a staffer. And when the state or the country asks, I respond and will serve, because that's what I think leaders have to do. And you know, I was not making decisions on that, but at the end of the day, I truly believe in service and having a heart for service. My dad was drafted into Vietnam and served as an infantryman and tunnel rat, and was the biggest conservative and patriot I ever met, and really instilled in my brother and I the sense of patriotism and love of country and serving others. And that's what we're trying to take forward with real boots on the ground leadership experience.
Matt, where can people go if they want to get more information about your campaign?
Yes, sir. It's mattfortn.com. That's mattfortn.com.
Well, and again, the reason I ask those questions is because people, that was a big issue. I know our good friend John Rich was bringing that up, and he had some big issues with those decisions. And people need to understand that at the end of the day, you're the nominee now, and people have to get behind the Republican, because the option is just, you know, that's unacceptable. We cannot have a Democrat being elected in the 7th Congressional District.
Todd, that is absolutely the case, and could not be more emphatic about that. This is a decision about the future of our country, where the future could be decided on a single vote. And it's about the fabric of America. And we have the vision and the conservative values and America First to get things done and drive it forward for the interests of our country. And I'll tell you one quick story here. We, after the primary, we reached out to the other 10 candidates that were on our side. And they were great candidates, and they had great messages. And we built off of each other. And we put together a happy hour, and we invited them. And most everyone could show up. And we called it the Bury the Hatchet Happy Hour. And we literally bought a hatchet. It's more of an axe. And we all signed it. And we were together for 3 hours, and was honored to have Jody Barrett and Lee Reeves and Gino Bolso and Stuart Cooper. And I'll leave someone out, and I don't want to, but all of those folks showing up, and there were others too. And I was grateful that they did that to show the unity and are us being together, because this is just so critical, and we've got to continue this and fight forward so we get this done for the country, for the president, for our district, our state, and our country.
Yeah, well said. We got to get you across the finish line. And folks, this is as Matt, I appreciate you pointing this out. I think it is a bellwether, and I think this will be a good indication of exactly the mood of the America First movement, and we will see what happens. So what the election is, what, December 2nd?
December 2nd. Yes, sir. It's on December 2nd. Early voting going now until November 26th. Next week, the day before Thanksgiving, and then the election on December 2nd. And would humbly ask for your listeners' support and for their vote, and need them to get out, be on this team, and help us push this thing forward.
Well, we have thousands of listeners across the volunteer state. And folks, there you go. You've got your marching orders. Matt, good luck to you out there.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate being on today, and thanks for all that you do.
All right. Matt Van Epps, everybody, wants to go to Congress. He is the nominee. And look, the reality is, you may disagree, and I get it. We're always going to find issues and have issues with our candidates, no doubt about it. But you have to put those aside once they become the nominee, and you got to get them across the finish line. We cannot risk having a Democrat picking up a seat here in Tennessee. That's a very dangerous thing. And as he said, as Matt said, rightly so, this is going to be a bellwether for, you know, what the midterms are going to look like. All right, we've got to take a break, and we still have a trivia question on the table. The first president to pardon a turkey. Now, we had someone call in from Oregon. It is not George H.W. Bush. He was he started the official pardon, but there was one president. And it's not JFK, because that was the wrong answer. So we're looking for the first president who pardoned a turkey. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, full lines here. We're going to try this again. Let's go to Jessica in Tennessee. Jessica, what part of Tennessee are you calling from?
I am in Memphis, Tennessee, Todd. How are you?
A fine city, if yes. I do say so myself, Jessica.
Yes, sir.
Ma'am, before we get to the trivia question, what do you think about the National Guard being here?
Oh, I had one accompany me while I pumped gas the other night, and I told him that a few months ago I nearly was hijacked while trying to get gas, had someone in my car, and that I was terrified to get gas, and why I frequently ride around on empty because I don't like getting gas. And he said he would be glad to stay there while I finished pumping my gas. And we shook hands, and I thanked him for being here. And he said that my sentiment was echoed by all the Memphians that he had met so far. So
well,
I am one very happy person.
Well, I am so glad to hear that. I ran into about eight or nine of them, state troopers, highway patrolmen, over at a barbecue joint. And walked over. They had already paid for their meal. I was going to pick up the tab for their meal.
Sure.
But
sure.
Just said, you know, guys, thank you so much. You know, we just really appreciate what you guys are doing. And every single, you know, a lot of them are going to be away from their families for the
That's
for Thanksgiving.
Right. He was from Laredo, Texas.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well,
and he said Laredo is the 14th safest city in America. And I said, I wish Memphis were.
Well, I think we're well on our way to it, Jessica. You can sense a vibe in the city. It's hard to explain, but man, there's some excitement here now.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jessica, let's try to win you a prize here. This has been a tough one for folks, and my staff, when I say people, they say, Todd, you've been really harsh with people today. I'm like,
my husband came home for lunch, and I asked him because I was going to guess differently. But it was Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, absolutely. What is that just me, or do I hear a turkey?
Not me.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was Abraham Lincoln, Jessica. You're right. There was Abraham Lincoln's son, Tad, became very attached to the turkey, and the turkey's name was Jack, by the way, and they decided not to whack Jack.
I love it.
What a great story.
That's very cute. That is a great story.
Well, Jessica, do you have a copy of my book, Star Spangled Blessings?
No, I do not, and I would love a copy.
Well, you're going to get one, and we're going to put you on hold, and we'll get all of your information there. And thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for listening to KWAM. And I know those great National Guard troops certainly appreciate your kind words as well. And again, if you're in the Memphis area and you're interested in helping us out, we're going to be feeding National Guard troops and federal agents on Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Dylan, we may have to put you to work cooking something.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know if you want me to do that.
Can you do the chicken tenders?
Chicken tenders is fine. Pancakes if you need.
I think, you know, because they've been getting a lot of barbecue. So I think we're going to do chicken and dressing.
Well, that sounds amazing.
Well, that's going to be for this kind of weather. It's cool outside. So anyway, if you're in the Memphis area and you'd like to lend a helping hand, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I'm wearing my official. Remember, last summer I had to judge the Great American Tomato Contest.
Oh, yes.
Actually, it was the Great Memphis Tomato Contest.
Yes, you're one of the toughest judges I've heard.
They gave me a, I put my tomato on a sandwich. So that I don't eat it just plain. So
you kind of have to eat those plain, don't you?
And you do. Tomato?
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
So they gave me a tomato apron.
Yes.
So I'm wearing the apron Monday.
You do. You have to wear it.
It's going to be fun. We'll have bigger announcements about who's going to be there Monday, but it's going to be insane. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to make national news. I'll just leave it at that. All right, folks, we got to leave it there. 5 o'clock tonight, Newsmax, then 7 o'clock on Newsmax. And we'll be back with you Monday. Folks, get out there. Have a great, great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, everybody.